Hi, we're Steve and Cindy Reip with Marriage Missions International with this Marriage Insight podcast. We're calling this Marriage Taxes Those Who Enter Into It. Now, you may think that with April behind us, the month where last year's taxes were due, this is kind of a strange topic, but we are rolling into May and we are reminded that marriage taxes all of us. But it's a different way, of course. However, there's no doubt that marriage can be taxing at times. We say this without any hesitation that every spouse will encounter taxing moments. Often it can be more than just moments where we feel challenged. At times we encounter experiences where we feel drained and we wonder how we'll ever be able to move forward. Other times we wonder how we could have handled different situations without a marriage partner to help us. Nonetheless, growing the marriage relationship can be taxing. Here are just a few possibilities and the ways that marriage taxes and challenges spouses. So here's one way that marriage taxes us. When you marry, you lose much of your independence. It's a voluntary thing when you first marry, but then you realize the true costs of marrying.
A marriage costs us beyond the cost of the wedding. That's nothing in comparison to the emotional costs that come with becoming one. The truth is, you lose a part of yourself exchanging a bit of who you are for a bit of who they are. You learn to give, take, and let go of the things that don't matter. Deborah Folletta said that, and it's so true. And that's something that Steve and I learned early on in our marriage. We realized that we lost a bit of who we were and who we would have been as independent people. It all of a sudden came to us. At times, that took some grappling with that fact to sort it all out. We had to just kind of figure that all out together. But as a whole, we can see that we've gained more than we've lost. We've gained the benefits that our spouse brings into our relationship. Yes, sometimes we don't get to do what we want to do when we want to do it. Now, that can include not going out with friends and instead coming home to spend a quiet night with our spouse, something that maybe we don't want to do at that point, but it's the right thing to do. And yes, there are times when we have to do that which we don't want to do. Okay, and that can include cleaning the kitchen or the yard instead of watching TV, or perhaps we just want to lie around relaxing, read a book, or spend a lot of time on social media, but we shouldn't. We need to spend time with our spouse sometimes. Our outside interests most often go in different directions than they would if we never married in the first place. But on the other hand, just because we marry, it doesn't mean that we have to change or drop all outside interests. It's important to give each other some breathing space, and that's something that we didn't realize when we first married. According to research, some of the healthiest marriages are ones that breathe. They move from a time of closeness and tenderness to a more distant posture, and then they come back together for another reunion as the cycle concludes. As Dr. James Dobson said, there's something about diversity of interests and activities by each that breathes life into a marriage. Ever since we learned this concept, we've tried to give each other some elbow room to pursue personal interests. Now, this is in addition to other ones that we're involved in together. When we were first married, I didn't realize that. I had this concept that marriage meant that you were almost attached at the hip. Everything I would do, Steve, of course, would want to do. Everything that he would do, he kind of thought I would want to do. And then we found out that's not true. And that kind of took us by surprise. Then when we learned about this research, we thought, that makes sense, of course. So we do give each other some time, but it's careful time that we give each other. And it's good for our marriage. Steve is involved as a chaplain in our local fire department, and also he's involved in mentoring young men. And I'm interested in art and gal friendship stuff, and I'm also involved in mentoring young married gals. And we both really enjoy this aspect of our marriage. And what we found is there is no doubt that each one of us is all the more interesting to the other because of it. It makes for great conversation time, really adds to our relationship. Plus, we pray for and we care about each other's involvements. We're independent in this aspect of our marriage, but we're supportive. So I kind of feel I'm still a part of what Steve does on the side, and he feels like he's a part of ours. And in that, our marriage relationship grows. So even independently, we're growing in our partnership. However, we do have boundaries as far as this is concerned. So it's not just carte blanche, you know, whatever you want to do when you want to do it. It's a partnership type of thing. We make it work for our marriage. Steve and I have made an agreed upon, and that's an important point, an agreed upon commitment that we won't do anything independently that causes tension and division within our relationship. That's really an important point for us. If a friendship, a family member involvement of some kind, or pursuit of an outside interest causes emotional division in our relationship, we address that issue. It's very important. We've committed to work it out until we've come to an agreement that both of us are satisfied with. For example, scheduling activities with friends and outside family members can be a fine thing to do. Sometimes I would let Steve just go over and see his parents independently of me. Sometimes we go over together. It's okay. We can let each other do that kind of thing. And he would sometimes have me do things with my friends and with family members independent of him. But if we haven't been able to spend quality time together because of the busyness of our life, then we make that our first priority. Spending time with other people and outside interests is not even on our radar screen at that point. Our love relationship with each other comes first. Every other person and everything else lines up after that. We both agree that we together time is a top priority.
It's like what Gil Stiglitz says, a good marriage brings two people together who lay aside their selfishness and put the other person first. The team must win before the individual wins. Marriages disintegrate when one or both partners go after selfish wins at the expense of the team win. There'll always be things that you'd like, but they may require a loss of your spouse. Those wins must be left unclaimed. That may be hard, but that's how great marriages are built. Now that brings us up to another taxing issue of marriage that is related to this, and that is that you are now part of a team, a marital team. This has its benefits as well as its difficulties. The benefit is that you are united with your marriage partner to face difficult situations together, and God agrees with this. He says, through King Solomon in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. But pity one who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There are benefits to having someone to walk with through life, but it isn't always easy. We have to make personal sacrifices for the sake of our team. We always have the other person to consider. The Apostle Paul laid this out for us in 1 Corinthians 7. He talks about the freedoms we have if we don't marry, but when we do marry, we have our spouse to consider in all we do. However, God points out, if one of us falls, the other can help us up. And sometimes that involves emotional falls.
And there are all kinds of different emotional falls. One of them is when the other person is grieving. The other day, Steve found out that one of his good friends had died. Now, this is a man that Steve considered to be a friend and a mentor, someone he sat next to in Bible study. It was really a great loss for him. I was out grocery shopping when he found out. When he called me, I could hardly wait to get home to be with him. I knew that he needed me with him. After I got home, Steve told me that he felt the same way I did. He could hardly wait for me to come home so he could fall into my arms for comfort, and we could talk to each other and he could process through some of this. That's an important aspect of our relationship. Comforting and helping each other is an important aspect of every marriage. If you and your spouse aren't doing this, then you need to talk to each other about this. It's an important part of being married. It's marrying our lives together. We laugh together through the good times. We cry together through the hard times. We help each other process things. We need to be there for each other. As the scripture says, pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And don't even get us started on the part in Ecclesiastes about keeping each other warm. Snuggling with each other on those chilly nights, that's important.
And I couldn't agree more with that one. You know, having a marriage partner who will defend the other, again, that's so important as well. We should never hurt each other physically or verbally. As marriage partners, we are to always be there to protect each other and never to harm each other. This is something we absolutely believe to be true. Dr. Stephen Stosny said this, "No one under any circumstance deserves to be abused. They don't deserve to feel disregarded, insulted, controlled, coerced, intimidated, hurt, hit, pushed, grabbed, or touched in any undesired way. Nothing that anyone in a family says or does justifies abuse. One act of abuse never justifies another. Everyone has the right and responsibility to heal suffering. Whenever we hurt a loved one, we bleed, or we should bleed, a little inside."
We have a framed saying hanging up in our den that takes this a bit further. It says, "May there be such oneness between you in marriage that when one of you weeps, the other will taste the salt." We believe that is a truth that we should all live out in our marriages. Every aspect of our lives together as a husband and wife should underline the statement, "I'm here for you, I'm here for you, I'm here for you."
I want to reiterate, abuse on any level is never, ever acceptable. If you're experiencing abuse in your marriage, we encourage you to take advantage of the resources that we point you to on our website, Abuse in Marriage Topic. And that's available for you at marriagemissions.com. Additionally, realize that emotional defense is vitally important too. Stephen and Alex Kendrick said this, "Through the years, you will be given many opportunities to parade your spouse's problems in front of your friends and relatives. But love calls you to protect their reputation. A morsel of gossip or a moment of laughter isn't worth the unnecessary pain of humiliation and damage it can bring to your trust. Unless your spouse is injuring themselves or others, you need to guard their secrets and honor."
And I want to step in at this point because I think that this is a point that a lot of women don't understand. There's a lot of husband bashing that goes on. I've seen it. I've been involved in it. And God just really brought me up short and showed me you should not be bashing your husband like this. If you have a grievance against your husband, you need to go to him and talk to him about it. It's one thing to talk to someone to work through the process. It's another thing just to bash them.
If a friend or family member says something that is negative about your spouse, you need to be his or her defender. Again, we aren't talking abuse issues here, but never allow anyone or anything to enter into your relationship to separate you or cause your spouse grief. In marriage, you vow to be your spouse's number one defender and cheerleader. Always keep in mind that you are on the same team, not opposing ones. And we've got more on this topic we're going to be sharing in our next Marriage Insight. However, to sum up all of this, we hope you'll participate with God and join us in being marriage keepers. Despite all that taxes us, yet embracing the many benefits of marriage, may we never forget, as Norm Wright wrote, "No marriage is ever what a person expects it to be. Real life can never compete with the dreams and fantasies conjured up by the mind. In marriage, you gain as well as lose, but both experiences can be positive. In a divorce-friendly culture, it's all too easy to exchange the old for something new, but the new relationship will come with its own set of gains and losses, usually more losses. Marriage is two unfinished people coming together and each helping to complete and refine the other." That's what marriage keeping is all about. Let me repeat that. Marriage is two unfinished people coming together and each helping to complete and refine the other. That's what marriage keeping is all about. And Cindy and I pray that God may do his finishing work in and through all of us through the vehicle of marriage as we intertwine with Him in a cord of three strands. Well, that's the conclusion of this marriage podcast. We're going to be back again next time with more for you. We thank you for listening. In the meantime, if there's anything that you want to follow up on that you heard today, all you need to do is go to our website once again, and that's marriagemissions.com. We also want you to know that we give a lot of personal stories, practical tips, and more marital advice in our book, The 7 Essentials to Grow Your Marriage. And we hope you'll pick up a copy for yourself. It's available both electronically and in print form. And have a blessed week. We'll see you next time for more of the Marriage Insight Podcast.